are listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are looking at the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, as we gather around your word this day, help us to become more like you. Help us to see your call in our lives of how we can better serve you and the world around us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. So, over the last 2 weekends, I've been challenged to grow more. Now, I know I'm not going to get any taller, and hopefully I won't get any wider, although I could work on that a little bit more. Thanks, Shay. But through the Church Renewal Weekend in Manitoba and last weekend's Curcio Men's Retreat, I've been feeling the need to be a better person. I've been feeling the need to get rid of the sins in my life that I had ruled as minor, in that they didn't really matter that much. They weren't that bad for me. They were okay. But I've come to realize a truth. And the truth is, any sin is bad. Any and all sin keep me from growing in my relationship with God. At the Church Renewal Weekend in Manitoba, I had some pretty powerful experiences of God speaking directly into my life, whether through my own prayer or the prayers of others around me. God spoke pretty clearly to me that there are things I need to shed from my life. Things I had rationalized as being not too bad. But when I look at it, the reality is it has a greater impact on me than I want to admit, probably. Or even maybe even realize. So I'm working on these things. 2 weeks in, I'm doing okay. Ask me again in 6 months, though, or a year, right? That'll be the test. So on the men's Curcio weekend, I also had powerful experiences with God. And while, because I was busy in the leadership, always thinking about what was coming next, I didn't necessarily hear God speak as loudly. But the weekend was no less holy. God was clearly there, as we all felt the power of the Holy Spirit shared among our teaching, our fellowship, and our sharing as men on the Myra. And I'll share more of these experiences over the next little while, But for now, I just know that I had a powerful experience, and I know some of the men had powerful experiences as you shared them with me privately as their spiritual director. What struck me, again, as has happened before, but what struck me is that over the last 2 weekends, the realization that God is more than willing to make his presence known. And he's willing to make it known if we allow ourselves to become humble and vulnerable. And part of that is through the sharing of sin, as Bev was talking about. That is a time to become humble and vulnerable before God. If we simply open ourselves up to the fact that we are not perfect, we cannot be perfect, and will never be perfect, then we can be set free from our sin. God knows we're not perfect. In fact, there is only ever one perfect human, only one perfect man. And he gave his life as an innocent victim for our imperfection. Jesus died for our imperfections, our sin, so that we can know God's perfect love for us. Now, because of that, because we know that Jesus died for our sin, it doesn't let us off the hook, right? We might think that, okay, Jesus died for us, therefore it doesn't really matter what I do. But it does. We may think, okay, our sin is okay because Jesus took care of it. But he took care of it so that we don't need to live in it. So we need to rethink that. We need to continue to grow as children of God. I mean, God loves us. Absolutely, he does. But he also loves us so much he won't give up on us when we fall apart or fall away from his love in our lives. And we do it all the time, right? We ignore God in our lives. We turn away from his love. We rationalize our sin. And we do it because, well, we see everybody else doing it, therefore it's okay. But that's not what God wants from us. God wants us to be bearers of his love for others so they can come to know him as well. They can know him in their own lives. And how can we do this if all people do when they look at us is see themselves? If all we're doing is holding up a mirror for what the world wants us to do and be. We need to ask ourselves, are we drawing people to God through our actions? Like, what are people seeing God in us, or are they seeing the world? God wants us to be beacons, to stand out from how the world expects us to live. God calls us to a new life in which we are loved, we are forgiven, and we are being drawn to be holy, drawn to be disciples of Jesus Christ, seeking to live out the example and the teachings he has put before us. Sounds simple? No, of course not. Jesus has asked us to live very differently than the world lives. The world teaches us is that we are to look out for ourselves above all others. Now, by teaching, I don't mean we're telling our kids that in schools or anything. But it's all around us. We're bombarded with it day after day. Commercials, ads, radio, television. It all tells us that we need to get ahead in life by whatever means. I mean, we need to have lots of toys. We need to have lots of gadgets, a nice car, a new home. We need all these things. That's what the world tells us. And to have all these things means we need lots of money. If we need lots of money, that means we need to work more. 24/7 in some cases. And we need to do all of this for ourselves so that we can look successful in the eyes of others. We are judged by our appearance and the possessions we have, are we not? That's how the world looks at us. What kind of car do you got parked in the driveway? We are not judged, though, by how we treat others in our communities. We're not judged by how we treat those in need. And Jesus wants us to flip that. That's how he lived his life. Jesus loved God and he served others. That's all he cared about. That's what Jesus modeled for us. So if we want to grow in our Christian life, if we want to be better lovers of God and followers of Jesus, then how do we get there if our life is such a mess? Well, Paul gives us a starting point. That letter to the Romans. And picking up in chapter 5 where we are this morning, Paul's getting to the point that it's not about what we do in our life. It's not by following rules or rituals. That's not what saves us, Paul says. Paul says we are saved by faith. Faith in God through Jesus Christ. And this is really important to Paul. And he spends a lot of time encouraging people to live lives of faith instead of trying to adhere to some sort of human construct, some sort of human ritual, human expectations. He says, forget that. It's about a life of faith. And so Paul acknowledges that life is not always easy. Even for those who give their lives to Christ, we are still struggling with things in our lives. There will still be struggles, no matter what. And Paul says we can rejoice in all things. Or boast in all things. Now, I get it that we can boast and rejoice in our blessings, right? That's the easy part. You know, thank you, God, for my house, my family, my car, my job, all that. We can thank God for all those things easily. But to boast in our suffering, that's not quite so easy. So Paul tries to walk us through what that looks like, what godly suffering can do for our lives. So Paul says, if we endure suffering, suffering will give us endurance. And that's true. Think of runners. You know, runners, when they start to learn to run, well, let's be honest, they hate it. They do, but they're too ashamed to admit it. You know, running is supposed to be this beautiful thing people do. You know, running down the road like a gazelle, you know, looking beautiful and, you know, barely a sweat. And you're watching all the birds and the nature all around you. That's what people see running as, right? They talk about that runner's high you get. But do you think that happens the first time you put on a pair of shoes, though? So here's what it feels like when you start to learn to run. Your feet hurt, your back hurts, you feel like your lungs are going to burst out of your chest, you feel like you're going to die in the middle of the road. In fact, you probably would rather die in the middle of the road. But you keep at it. You keep at it, you get up the next time, you put your shoes on, and you get just a little bit better. The next time, a little bit better. You keep doing it over and over again. And pretty soon, you enjoy it. Because you've built up an endurance. You've gone through that suffering, those first few weeks of running, to build up an endurance so that it's not miserable anymore. Now, unfortunately, you can't skip that part. If you want to be a runner, you've got to go through that suffering stage. There's no shortcut. You cannot build up an endurance without the suffering. That's the way it is with life, too. If we want to be a good Christian, then we need to go through those trials, the suffering, which will build our endurance. And by suffering, I don't mean that life's going to be completely miserable. I mean, it might be in some cases, but for the most part, we just need to get past those things. We need to get past those things that cause suffering. And they could be simple things. You know, like those little changes we need to make. We need to shed the excess. We need to get rid of the sin. We need to get rid of the doubt. We need to ignore those questions from people who don't quite understand what it is we're trying to do. You know, we need to ignore that judgment of people saying, you're going to church? Like, we're going to the beach. Why are you going to church? Right? People, we need to get past that as people try to go out and do what pleases them most. I'm hoping that coming here pleases you, though. Our suffering is what we experience when we begin to move away from that wayward life and into a godly life. It's those things we need to go through to get from here to there. And all through it, we build an endurance so that we won't need to suffer anymore, at least not as badly. And this is a good thing. So now that we've gone through the suffering, we've managed to come through it, what comes next? We've built up our endurance. What comes next? Well, Paul tells us that endurance produces character. So when we've suffered and built up our strength and endurance, it's these experiences that build our character. They make us a better people. Experience is what makes us who we are. All experience does this, good or bad, godly or otherwise. And the more we learn from the bad experiences, probably the more we learn altogether. We learn more from bad experiences than good, right? We learn from our mistakes more than we do our successes. And it's through these bad experiences that we kind of learn who we really are deep down inside, right? If we're in a stressful situation, that's kind of when our true self comes out. And we learn from our mistakes. We grow as a person. So in our suffering, we learn to get past these things. We get stronger. And this is what produces our character. This is who we are today, which may be different as we continue to grow in character than tomorrow. And we have a lot to learn. Not just about the world around us, we have a lot to learn about ourselves. Have you ever found yourself in some sort of new or stressful situation and you surprise yourself with how you've responded? You know, good or bad. You know, that's part of the building of the character, when we see how we react. Because if we react in a harmful or hurtful or negative way, then we might see something we want to change within ourselves, to change our character so that we can be healthier and more faithful in our responses in those types of situations. There's no question God wants us to be better citizens. God wants us to learn to respond in ways which are edifying and to do it pretty much automatically. You know, that way others can see our faith naturally. If we're in a situation where people would be broken or cave or even worse, and they respond in a harmful way, a hurtful way, then that says something. But if we go through a similar situation and we come out praising God, then which is better for drawing people into relationship with God? Which is the more faithful response, right? How we respond in those kinds of situations is who we are. It's our character. This is what God is trying to develop in us. God wants us to respond naturally with love, with grace, with mercy, all because of our faith. Now, this is not as easy as you might think. It's not as simple as turning off a switch. We can't say to ourselves, like, I'm not going to swear anymore, I'm not going to drink anymore, I'm not going to smoke anymore. It just doesn't happen overnight. We can't say, like, okay, I'm not going to think bad things about that guy who cut me off, right? It's not that simple. To make this change takes time. It takes a major shift in who we are as a person. We need to work at changing our character, and sometimes that will be the suffering to endurance to the change. I mean, I used to swear like a trucker when I was younger. And I slowly began to change that about myself, especially when I found Jesus. And I'd be doing good for a little while, but then I'd be playing basketball with some guys and get caught up in the moment, and a few words might slip out, you know, kind of in the heat of the moment. You know, I'd think, oh man, I thought I had that under control. And then I would continue to be more conscious of how I was acting on the basketball court. Now I'm good. Instead of swearing because I missed yet another easy shot, I let out a grunt or a scream of frustration maybe, and then I continue on with the game. It's funny though, when I look at the guys I play basketball with, I mean, they still swear, but I've noticed they do it less now. I don't know if they see it in themselves, but yeah, I've noticed it over the years. Character is important. How you carry yourself in the world around is important. Who we are as God's citizens in this foreign land we call Earth, you know, is important. We seek to serve others and share God's love. It's important. How we act is important. Our character is important. If we call ourselves Christians but we don't respond in love, if we don't example a Christian life, then how is that praising God? How is it pleasing to God? How is it drawing people into relationship with God? It doesn't, right? Suffering produces endurance. It makes us stronger. Endurance produces character. It makes us a better person. And character produces hope. And what is hope? If we are growing in character by the grace of God, then what is hope? Our hope is that all these changes, they will lead to unity with God through Jesus Christ. We hope that through all this suffering, all the building up of endurance, the changes in our character, our hope is that they all lead to something somewhere. Our hope is that God will love us. And of course he does. He loves us just as we are today, and that will never change. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. But the hope is that by expressing God's love through our lives, that others will experience his love too. That as they see the changes in our character, they too will let God change their character. And they can be better people. And they can turn away from their own sin. And then others can see that as well. And it just grows. God has a plan for the world. He sees us all as his children, living in peace and harmony, just as it was in the Garden of Eden. But God doesn't want to dictate our lives. He doesn't want to be our puppeteer pulling our strings. Because if he did, how would that be a loving God? So God gave us free will. We can make our own decisions. And that's part of the problem now, isn't it? We can choose to disobey and walk away from God's love. And many, many people do. But we also have a choice that we can walk back into God's love, and we have the chance to bring others along with us when we do. Going back to my recent learning, my recent desire to change parts of my life, I believe by changing these things God is asking me to give up, that by changing my character, that I will be closer to God. I will be better able to hear his voice, and I will be better able to serve him and reach out to other people in need in our community, those who are currently living a life of suffering. But I can't help others. I cannot help others unless I'm moving myself past my own suffering, building my endurance, changing my character, and finding hope. I have hope that in changing my character, and it's mostly small little ways, to be perfectly honest, my hope is that God will use me more. Don't we all want God to use us more? Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope that through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, we may know the fullness of God's love in our lives, and that we can share this hope with others. And together we can transform our homes, our community, our province, our nation, and eventually the entire world. We can transform it all into a place of peace and love, with Christ as our center, leading us back to God. Can we hope in this together? I think we would all love to see an end to war, an end to suffering, an end to hunger, homelessness. And we would all love to see a world in which we are all brothers and sisters living lives devoted to God. I think we would all like that, wouldn't we? If we can change our character in such a way that others will see God in us, then we are making the first steps to bringing healing to a broken world. It has to begin with us. We can't expect God to change the world if we can't trust him to change ourselves first. Imagine how the world would look if we just all took a little time to allow God to build our character as he wants to live as his precious children. Imagine what the world would look like if we all just took that opportunity to let God work in us so that we can all come together and heal a broken world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, through your life, you have shown us how important it is to have good character. You have shown us how our actions impact the lives of those around us, our families and friends, and outward from there. Help us to see the weakness in our own character so that we may change in such a way that you will be glorified and your love will be known to our brothers and sisters around us. Jesus, you have shown us the way to live. Help us to turn away from our sin and our self-centeredness and move to a life where you are our center. We humbly ask for your guidance through this life-transforming experience as we seek to experience new life in you through the power of your sacrifice on the cross. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.